This is one of the more interesting parshas. Okay, the reason why is because it's really a Musar Shmuz for all the Rishonim out there. At first it starts off and says you're going to die really badly, but then it seems that they come back. It also answers the age-old question, the question that everybody always asks, the question of why are Rishonim so successful in this world and Tzadikim seem to find it so hard. Both of those questions should be answered within this parsha. Now we're going to go with it. The Medrash says in the very beginning of the parsha, it says, "Vatem nitzavim ayom kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem." You're standing today, all of you, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rasheichem, Shevteichem, Zekneichem, Shalteichem, Kol Ish Yisrael, the heads of your Shvatim. Says the Medrash, Hafoch Rishayim Ve'inam. You turn around the Rishayim, and all of a sudden they're gone. Beit Tzadikim Ya'amod. The house of the Tzadikim is going to last forever. Now, says the Chasam Sofer, there's a very big difference between the word Rishayim and the word Marshiim. Rishayim and Marshia, to be Marshia. Rishayim, the definition, are people who do evil, but do not spread their evil to other people. Meaning, they're people that they want to do evil because they have taivas, they have desires, and they're really into their thing. But they don't make other people do the same thing. They just, listen, I want to eat this, or I want to do that, and I don't care what other people do, it's just about me. That's a Rasha. Such people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is full of mercy. He abuses the sticks and the stones that are around them, and destroys them. So the other people will be able to survive. The people themselves, the Rishayim themselves, are going to be able to survive. He'll send them out of the land, but at least they're going to live. But a Marshia is totally different. A Marshia is someone who causes others to sin. And such a person is going to be utterly destroyed. Now, what's the difference between the two words? Rishayim, the mem, is at the end of the word. By the word Rishayim, the mem is at the end of the word. While the word Marshia, it's at the beginning of the word. What's the difference? Here's the concept. Mahapech the Rishayim. Turn around the word Rishayim. You can turn it into the word Marshia. Now, if there's a Mem Sofis, everybody knows that in Gematria, Mem Sofis is more than just 40, right? In Gematria, after the Tav, it comes the Chaf Sofis, which is 500. It comes the Mem Sofis, which is 600. So if you take the word Rishayim, Resh and Shin are 500 altogether, plus another 600 is altogether 1100, and then you have the Ayin and the Yod for 80. So you have 1180 altogether. But the word Marshia, if you were take the word and you make it into Marshia, Marshia is equal to 620. 620 with a regular mem. That's equal to Kares. That's the pshat. Meaning, it changed it around. Instead of being one of the Rishayim, you become a Marshia. If that happens, he's going to get Kares. If the Rishayim turns themselves around, the Enum, they won't be able to be there. But until then, what we're learning from here is he has a chance. A Rasha always has a chance to be able to come back. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give him as many chances as possible to be able to bring himself back and to do the right thing. In fact, Marshia, there's nothing. Because Marshia is destroying other people. He does not get the same chance. He's gone out of the world because he's destroying everybody else. I'm sorry?
You can't do tshuva.
Of course you can do tshuva. But as we spoke about last week, it's much harder to do tshuva when you're in that position. In fact, even in the death of a Marshia, you can still see the chesed of a Kadosh Baruch. There still is chesed. Although Rishayim may be judged to go to Gehenna, they may have a judgment in which something crazy will happen and a miracle will happen through their death in wondrous ways. So the people will start talking about it and take muster from it, and that gives the Rasha who dies a real tikkun. They get a tikkun for the fact that they died in such a wondrous way that makes us talk about it. Korach, Dothan, and Aviram had the most wondrous thing happen to them. The ground opened up in front of them, so we know. And there's a lav. Don't be like Korach. There's a lav named after Korach. I'm sorry?
That's their tikkun.
And that, in and of itself, says the Chasam Sofer, is their tikkun. And that's why they say when they're in Gehenna, they yell out Moshe Emes Yisrael Emes Vehim Badoyin. Because as much as they were Marshia, they made other people become Rishayim in this world. When they left the world, they told everybody, no, God is good. Moshe Emes, so Russell Emes, the Haim Badoyim. That's why Moshe, I mean, keeps repeating that Dothan and Aviram died. We know they died. We know that Dothan and Aviram died. You don't have to tell it to us every time we go through the numbers. And by the way, Dothan and Aviram were also born to Reuven, but they died. We know they died. You don't have to repeat it to us in Pinchas. You don't have to go through all those numbers again. We realize that Dothan and Aviram died. The pshat is, that gives them a chance for tikkun. Every time you mention Dothan and Aviram, how they died, and you think to yourself, oh, I don't want to be like them, that's a tikkun for Dothan and Aviram. That's the pshat. Now, look at the very, very end of Rishon. Hanisteros l'Hashem Elokeinu. The hidden things are for God. V'niglos lanu l'vneinu ad olam. The revealed things are for us and our children forever and ever. Here's the pshat. The real punishment is hidden. Only God knows what the real punishments of Dothan, Abiram, and Korach are. But Haniklos, the revealed punishments, the ones that we see, are lanu alavaninu. They're done, so that us and our children will be able to improve from it and get something from it, and even them can get a tikkun from it. Even those Hashem can get a tikkun from it. And here's another line. Even a Russia can be saved, even a Mashiach. Yes, I'm sorry?
It's not like a mitzvah
b'chol. No, it's not a mitzvah b'chol. No, it's not a mitzvah b'chol. It's an avera, and they're punished. But their tikkun comes. Eventually, they get a tikkun. There is something good that comes from them eventually, when everybody starts learning from them. I don't know about certain people. You can't ask about, you know. But let's assume we're dealing with only B'nai Yisrael for now, because I don't know how it works by the other nations. Maybe it's the same way, maybe not. But let's just assume that we're dealing with Jews.
Is Gehenna a tikkun for
now? No. Rav Dessler, page 100 in the first chelik, I believe it's in the first chelik, says straight out, Gehenna is not a tikkun. Gehenna is only a place of punishment.
No.
It's not like this world, where everything you do and every yisurin that you have is a tikkun, and it helps you because it takes away your averos. In Gehenna, no, you're punished for your averos. But there's no tikkun. You don't get any better in Olam Haba.
I thought we have to get
if you
was...
get out, then your mitzvos will give you Olam Haba. The mitzvos you do.
That's a cleansing process so that you can... Yeah, that's
this world is the cleansing process. Gehenna itself is not a cleansing process. It's purely an onesh. Purely an onesh. I'm just telling you, Rav Dessler. Could be there other mepharshim the other way, but that's how it goes. If you look later on in the parsha, it says a line over here, lots of different mepharshim, the Ramban, one of the famous ones. Pen yesh bachem shoresh pore rosh v'lano. Maybe there is amongst you a root of something that is evil. Rosh v'lano, that is like bitter spices. Maybe there's something among you, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe there are people amongst you that are living among you right now, says Moshe, who would be willing to worship idols later on. They just don't want to do it now in front of God, because you know, they just had everything in the midboard. They're seeing all these miracles. But they're thinking to themselves, when is this going to stop so that I can finally go ahead and do it? So like a guy who's
that's
sitting...
That would only punish people like what they are, like by Yishmael.
No, you're 100% right. We do. That's 100% by Sher Husham. However, we also know we have a Ben Sora Mora. So based in Shomaila, only punishes you by Sher Husham. Based in Shomata punishes you according to what's going to happen in the future, and we have to judge based on that. So there is such a thing. There is such a concept. Okay. So maybe there are people among you who are just waiting. You know these guys. Just like, I can't wait till I get on vacation and I'm free. I'm going to do whatever I want. They don't bring their chillin'. They don't bring anything. And they're just like, I'm on vacation. I'm not doing a thing. I'm going to just hang out and chill out and do absolutely nothing. That's the guy. That's Shoresh Pora Rosh V'lano. They wanted to open a Zohar so badly they just don't have the audacity to do it right now in front of God. Or they don't want to put the yoke of heaven upon themselves. It's too hard for them to do. They just want to be free of any restriction they could possibly get. Those types of people. The Tziv tells us, those types of people want to be free, they're worse than Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay, here's the deal. A guy who's Ovdei Avodah Zarah, what's he doing? Come on. He's worshipping idols, he's looking at this thing, right? He's doing it out of tithes. He wants to do something else. The easiest way to do that is to not believe in God, but he has to believe in something, so he believes in this little idol. He gets involved in their little thing, and it's just a way to be able to do, it's just a way of getting him there. But these guys who don't believe in anything and don't care about anything, even Ovdei Avodah Zarah, these guys have no limits. They have no real morals and anything like that. I mean, people worship idols, they don't really care about other people pulling them into their service. I mean, come on. They're into the tithes for themselves. It's better if there aren't that many people into this Avodah Zarah. I'll do the Avodah Zarah by myself. I'll be into all these tithes. Maybe they'll get some other girls that they like. You know, but aside from that, they're not going to pull other guys in. That's not what they're ready for. They don't care about stuff like that. But think about it, guys. People that are atheists, who mamish don't believe in anything, who don't believe that there's any God, they don't think that there's anything. They want to do whatever they want. They think you're an idiot for believing in God. They are the first people to go up to people who believe in God, and they're willing to fight like dogs for their position. Like dogs. They're ready to go up and say anything they can to be able to go. He's so messed up in the head that he thinks the other guy's an idiot. Well, I want to show him the light. I'm going to show him my enlightenment, how it's really true that there is no God. He wants to spread his views so badly. That's the difference between a Russia, the Rishayim, who are the people who just, they are Ovdei Avodah Zarah because they want to, and then the Mashiach, the person who is willing to knock down everybody else because he wants to prove that he himself is right. This is Shoresh Pora Rosh V'lano. He's got a root of bitterness inside him and tries to convince every single person that I'm right, you're wrong, listen to me, there is no God. such a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, all these crazy promises over here, I'm going to erase them, I'm going to destroy him, I'm going to send my anger against him, that only applies by that guy, not in Ovid Avodah Zarah. Only a person who's Mashiach and doesn't that, and it's so appropriate. Let's think for a second. What is Karetz? You're cut off and you have no connection to God. This guy wants no connection to God because he doesn't believe there is one. So what does he get as his punishment? He has no connection to God. Absolutely nothing. Which is the worst possible punishment a person can face. That's exactly what his punishment is. Okay, so that's that. And now let's try to explain. There are two types of people out there that are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Number one, you already mentioned, the guy who's into his tithes. He got into his tithes, he figures, what do I do? And then there are people who are angry at God for some reason. Where, I guess they just think to themselves, I can't deal with God right now. He just has never done anything good for me. He's always been against me. He's always sent me these terrible, terrible things. And that's another person. Both stem from being involved with other Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now, how does that happen? You're involved with those. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's big problem that he had to get rid of all the nations in Eretz Canaan? What was so bad about having these people to worship Avodah Zarah near you? I mean, how bad could they be? The answer is like this. When people see people worshiping idols, you think to yourself one of two different things. The first thing you think to yourself is, wait a second, why in the world is that guy doing that? How can you worship idols? It's just a stupid thing to do. Why would anybody do that? So you think to yourself, I must be missing something. Let me get involved and see what they're doing. And then I'll see there probably is some type of truth to it, because how could you convince a billion people to do this Avodah Zarah? There must be something to it, and I'm totally missing it. So let me get involved, but let me do it myself. And then when you get deeper in, you all of a sudden you start hearing them, they start to make a little bit of sense, and then you see that they're very successful, they're doing pretty well, it looks like the Avodah Zarah is in, and then you're too late. Then you can't pull yourself out, you can't bring yourself out of the muck. That's what ends up happening. It's literally like quicksand. You throw yourself in, you just can't get yourself out. But number two, they look at them and they say, those are fools. Well, their fathers did it, and they're just following what their fathers told them to do. And they start thinking, wait a second. If their fathers convinced them to do it and tricked them and made them think there's something mamish behind this Avodah Zarah, maybe my father did the exact same thing. And they start thinking, well, if my father did the same thing, then why am I doing this? Maybe my dad just tricked me. He said to me, yeah, I was on Har Sinai, I saw all these crazy things. Were you really in our thing? No, I was just joking with you. That never happened. Yeah, it was a great time. We were just joking around. And that's how the religion started. Maybe that's what ended up happening. Being around these people makes you think the craziest thoughts. The craziest thoughts. And you have no one to trust. That's what makes you so bitter. So what's the way out of it? Says the Chassam Sofer. There's only one proof positive they can give to them. And I think this is a bit argumentative, but I like the point a lot. You can argue the point all you want with a true nation, this and that and the other. But at the end of the day, it's amazing how a Kaddish Baruch Hu promises us curses, that if you don't listen to me, you're going to be cursed. Now I want you to think, we are a nation that has been around for longer than almost every other nation in the world. We are a nation that has believed in God for longer than any other nation in the world. We have a history that is unmatched by any other nation in the world. And yet every other nation hates us. Every nation we've ever been in thinks we're just tricky people who are trying to get out to get them. And every time we're thrown out and we've been in gulls for over 1900 years now, and it's been terrible for us. Right there, says Chassam Sofer, is proof positive. Proof positive that we can't be denied. Our persecution, after we hear in the Torah what's going to happen to us when we don't listen, is a proof positive that there's an idea behind this. And these curses are here to allow that tikkun to happen. For the apikorsim who went off and started thinking to themselves, there's something mamish behind that, something else, this is proof positive that we have something that the Jews have prophesied to and have 100% happened. We are the scorn of every nation. Every nation despises us. And I know right now, it's not as much because America seems to take our side some of the time, at least the Republicans do. There are some nations that stand up to our side. But all you have to look at is how Europe treats Israel and everything. What? That might have been around the endorsement, but I am online, so I don't want to do that. It's just a different world. A different world because of the Jews. All because of the Jews that are out there. The Chassam Sofer says there's another derek in the Pesukim. How does a tzaddik do things? Now, there are two ways that a tzaddik can live his life, right? Tzaddik have avoda can also be done in private, where no one has any idea that he's a tzaddik. Now, if anybody here is that tzaddik, I suggest that you be megala yourself, because it's not good to be a hidden tzaddik now. We need you more than ever. Do you hear this, Daniel? Just listen to me closely. We need you more than ever. Now, the reason why the tzaddik does this is because he doesn't want to have gaiva. He doesn't want to have any pride, right? And he wants to serve Hashem alone. He doesn't want to have to deal with all the people around him. I totally understand that. I can totally hear that. But we need people like that. A person who can be megala himself, can teach other people what to do and teach their children how to act, while a person who's always a nister, always hiding himself, pretending that he's really learning Tehillim when he's got a little gemara on the inside, that person, we don't need that person anymore. It's hanisteros l'Hashem Elokeinu, the nister tzaddikim, the tzaddikim that are nister, the hidden ones, they're for Hashem Elokeinu, they're not for us anymore. Hanigos l'anu l'vanenu, those are the guys that we have in Ad Olam, they last forever, their legacy goes on and on and on. That's the idea behind it. But at the end of the parsha, it gets to something which just, it throws you off completely. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to say the following. Re'e, nesati l'venecha yom, see that I put in front of you today, as a chayim v'satov, life and good things, as a mavis v'satovra, death and bad things. Pretty good, right? You have these choices. Asher anokim etzavacha yom, la'avas shem elokechu, la'chaz v'rochav, l'shmo tzavacha kosav. I command you today to do, love God, and do His mitzvos. V'chayisav ravisa, you'll live, and you'll become fruitful. U'veiracha shem elokechu ba'aretz, asher atzavacha shem elokechu. And God is going to bless you when you go in. V'nitna l'vav n'loz yishma. If you don't listen, you go after the other idols, and everything like you, then I promise you these things are going to happen. All these things. Haydosi v'chana yom, es shmai mitzvot. I swear to you today, by the heaven and the earth, I'm giving you life, I'm giving you death. Brachas and klalos. Choose life. So that you live, you and your children. Okay. We all know that not a single word is extra in the Torah, right? You need to tell me to choose life? Is that really necessary? Good choice. That's really an idea. It's brilliant. Who would have thought of such a thing? Choose the right path. I got it. Why would anybody have chosen any other path? What would be the idea? What are you trying to do? What's the question the Torah is answering? And what's the idea? So there's a mashal over here. There's a mashal given by the Sifri. Since the Torah gave us two paths to go on, maybe you could choose either one you want. Okay? Kamash Malon, Uvakarta Bachayim, marshal to a person who sees two paths in front of him, and he looks ahead and he sees that there's a straight path. It looks very, very straight, but a half a mile down, it turns into this huge thistle patch. And for the next 3 or 4 miles, the whole thing is this curvy, twisty path with all these thorns and briars and animals and everything in there. And then there's another path. The first part of it, the first half mile, is briars and twisty and whatever, and it's all that. But after that half mile, it's miles and miles and miles of straight roads. Both are leading to the same city at the very end of the day. And the guy stands at the crossroads, and he sees people coming in, and he says to them, listen, you see that path that's straight over there? Don't choose that path. Choose this path over here that is the briars in front. You're going to have to trust me. It's going to get better once you go in. The guy looks, and he's like, I can't see it. He's too small. He looks ahead, and he can't see it. He says, I really want to go on the straight path. I really want to go over here. And he's telling him, no, I'm telling you, it's not worth your time. Go on the path that starts off bad. In the end, it's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling B'nai Israel. You see that Rishayim are successful. You see that the world looks really, really good, and it's a straight path with everything good in it. But I'm telling you, says the Kaddish Baruch, says Moshe Rabbeinu, their end is going to be terrible. This is only in passing. Their end will absolutely be bitter, and it's not going to get any better. That's the idea behind it. It's never going to get better. In the end, if you look, you'll be able to see what the right path was, but you can't see it right now. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you. There's a massive kasha on this message. Does anybody have the kasha? Anybody want to see what the kasha is? Obviously, the tzaddikim choose the path with all the briars and the thorns and everything, and then they get in the straight path. The rishayim choose the straight path, and then whatever. What's the problem? The
problem is that sometimes good things happen to bad people, sometimes good things happen to bad people.
This is exactly that. This is exactly that.
Things bad have bad. It's a mix, and you never get that one.
Fine. There's a bigger problem. There's a bigger problem. Bigger problem. You can say it in general speaking terms. There's a bigger problem over here. Does anybody see where these paths are going? Where are they heading to? Same place. Since when do Rishayim go to the same place as Sadiqim? When is that going to happen? The muscle is unbelievable, said the Chassam Sofer. Everybody totally misses that. The mashal is right there, and it's telling you, go on the path with all these thorns, and then there's a straight path afterward. But the Rishayim are going on a path that's straight, and then it becomes thorns, and granted, it might be a little bit longer, it might take them longer, but they still end up in the same place. What in the world is going on? And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, don't go on that path, go on this path. And the people sometimes choose the other path, and they still get to the same place.
Maybe the Torah is telling you that everyone has a right to change. You could either fall or go up.
The ultimate lesson of this parsha.
People that go the other way, they want to cut corners. Like a lot of Chatzim and Asher that have left early, they wanted to get out earlier.
The ultimate answer to this kasha, to the whole parsha of how Rishayim and Tzadikim and how they work and everything, is right here in this concept. Okay, right here. The concept is like this. Targum Yonason says that what we're saying is one should go on the path of Chaim, which means to learn Torah. Learning Torah is not easy. Number one, your parnasa is shot. Either because you're spending time doing other things, or because you're going to spend your whole time learning Torah, you're going to get addicted to it, and then you're done. You won't be able to get into anything else, your parnasa is going to be shot. Learning Torah is difficult because it takes a lot of head work. And head work annoys people. And it knocks your brain down. It makes you very, very tired. That if you spend your whole day trying to figure out a Rashba, a Ramban, to figure out a Ketos, your whole head is sitting there swimming. That you feel like you have to nap. And of course, we all know, tell me to come, don't just go to sleep. They spend their nights learning as well. They're spending as much time as they possibly can to be able to do it. It's full of virus, but at the end, Leman Tichya. At the end of the day, they're going to go to an area of Olam Haba, and it's going to be a straight path all the way through. The rewards will be great until the end of days when Tchias Mason comes and they're finally able to go to the city at the very end of the day. That's the pshat. Now, I want you to understand something. A Russia does something that's Chayiv Kares. One thing that's Chayiv Kares. Is that guy equal to a guy who did a Chayiv Kares twice? I mean, Kares means you're cut off from God, right? You're cut off. So can you be cut off twice? Can you be cut off three times? Can you be cut off four times?
Yes.
Can you? Says the Chassam Sofer, yes, there's a difference. You can be cut off more times. A guy who's cut off once still has a chance to come back. A guy who's cut off twice, three, four, five, six times still has a chance, but it's much, much worse. Depending on how many times you did something that's wrong, that's the amount of thorns and the amount of curves in the road that it's going to take for you to eventually get, but there's still a chance for the guy to come in at the very, very end. Granted, it might be easy in the first place, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was saving your punishment for a later on time. But in the end of the day, that guy can still make it to the ultimate reward. He can still make it to the city that's going to be there. Moshe suggests the right path. He says, I know it's going to be hard at first. You think it was easy for me to go 40 days and 40 nights without eating, drinking, or sleeping up in Shemayim? Think that was easy for me?
Can
you think, can what?
Yeah, like the person who's got cars 100 times, a million. He can get to where he is, or will, because God
can. It's still up to him.
Is it still up to him, or at a certain point is Hashem just going to drag
him? Im Rotze, I believe, is the exact lashon of the Chassam Sofer. Im Rotze is the answer of the Chassam Sofer, and that's what it'll be. Moshe suggests the right path. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be one of those things where you sit there and you say to yourself, how in the world am I going to go on? But if you want to get to Leman Tichya, you want to get to Olam Haba quicker, you want the world to be made for you, you want something, that's the concept of what you have to do. You have to go in the right way, and not only for you. Leman Tichya Ato Lizarecha. Your children will see you. And granted, your children may not follow in your footsteps, but everybody knows that your father is your hero. No matter how much you throw it down, your father at the end of the day is the person you look up to. And at the end of the day, no matter how much you might be upset or angry or something like that, your father is the person you want to be like. And if your father acts this way, then you're going to want to act this way. And it goes by your kids. It goes especially by my kids, I would assume. That they're going to want to be like their father. And if they want to be like their father, they're going to do everything that you do. And if you show them that correct path, they're going to go that way and they're going to live. So although it may be briars and thorns and thistles in the beginning, it doesn't matter, because in the end everything's going to be easy. And that's the concept. You and they will be able to fully live. That's the concept of this entire parsha, what it stands for. To end off on a high note.
Do you think your kids really want to do that bad at sports?
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm going to Green Bay right now. I'm joining the Bears. Just to prove you wrong. I'll be in the fourth, but just watch me.
You're going to sign on the highway?
No, I didn't. Kedushas Levi.
Awesome.
The Kedushas Levi says the word Vehostircha appears in this parsha. God is going to give you good things. Vehostircha means going to add on to you. What does that word Vehostircha means? Here, it's an easy word for Shabbos. It's a very nice one as well. Vehostircha means even when we receive good things from Hashem, it shouldn't subtract from our zchuyos in Olam Haba. That everything we get in Olam Haba is still intact. Vehostircha means it should be added extra incentive for us. That we should have good things and add on to it and not have to worry about us subtracting from our zchuyos in Olam Haba. That's the way it should be. The only way for that to happen is if you're going to use your things to do more good with it. If mitzvah, goreretz mitzvah, then Hashem will reward you in this world. But if mitzvah is not going to lead to another mitzvah, you're just going to use it, abuse it, and do something different, well then in the end, guys, it's not worth it. Don't take it, because it's just going to ruin your whole Olam Haba. It's going to take away from there. That's the pshat. All the good things in this world should be added on to the regular schar that you get in Olam Haba, because God wants to give it to us. He wants so badly to be that mashpia. Allow him to, and say to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm ready to do it. Give it to me and add on to it, and don't let me take away from all my skuyos in Olam Haba. That's the concept. And so to go over and to summarize what we've been talking about today, the idea is the following. We went into the concept of a Rasha, Rishayim, versus a Marshia. We said even in the person's death, there can still be chesed, because you can learn from even a person's death. We said that the Netziv said the worst people in the world are the Apikorsim, who go against and try to fight, rather than the people who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And we said that one of the reasons why people are so convinced is because either, number one, they get drawn in and thrown into the muck, and they can't get themselves out, they can't extricate themselves out, or because their fathers convinced them, so maybe my fathers convinced me, and they have absolutely no trust. The Chassam Sofer says, we need more tzaddikim niglin, tzaddikim that are megala themselves in this world, and nisros l'shem l'kinu v'niglos lanu l'vaninu. At the end of the parsha, choose life. Remember the muscle, and remember to choose the right path, because both may end off in the right place. But there's a right way of doing it and a wrong way of doing it. And it may seem like it's good right now, but it's not going to be in the end. That's what a person has to concentrate on. And our last thing was Vehostircha. Shkoyach, guys.